Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Jeeves, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Happy Wednesday, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Voice of Indie podcast. This is show number 67. I'm your host, Beam Weeks, and with me is my co-host, Stephen Jeeves. How are you doing tonight, Stephen?
I am here, and that's always a good thing. So I'm doing fine. How about you?
I can't complain. I crushed up the remainder of the fall leaves this afternoon, and I'm done with the lawnmower for the year.
They're just starting to fall down here. Yesterday, my father wanted to go fishing. It was 74 degrees and sunny, so we went out for a few hours, and we had two cold nights in a row, which means that the leaves were starting to change. So it was beautiful out there, sitting in the boat on the water, surrounded by the mountains, and they're starting to show colors. So I like this time of year. Although I got to say, Michigan, it's more spectacular than it is down here. Down here, the leaves, a lot of them just turn brown. Up there, they get vivid yellows,
yeah,
and reds and
oranges
and zebra stripes, and I mean all kinds of stuff up there. So it's been a busy week for our authors. Some of you noticed in the newsletter today that there was a review by a federal prisoner of Helen Burrell's book, American Agony. And we just want to emphasize that Helen Burrell, Dr. Burrell, is out there really, really working this. She's joining groups. She's becoming known as an expert in the field. She's offering free copies of the book to organizations, and she's getting to where people are contacting her every day now, making inquiries, putting reviews in their newsletters and things like that. You got to get out there and work it. Like this past weekend, our author, Robert G. Williscroft, went to a big event, sold dozens of books, met lots of fans, pictures were taken, autographs signed, and that's how you build your fan base. You got to keep getting out there and working it. So good job, people. Keep at it. And, you know, you got anything like that to share? Let us know. We'll put it in the newsletter.
Yeah. Now, listeners, if you want to be a part of tonight's show, there are two ways that you can contact us during the show.
Call 516-453-9902 right now and join us on air or tweet us with the hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body, and we'll read your comment or question live. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group.
Yeah. So yes, the phone, go to Twitter.
Yeah, and tonight you can talk to our guest live, even though it's 5 a.m. where she is, halfway around the world in the United Arab Emirates. So she got up early for us. Let's call in and have a chat with her. Also,
yeah,
want to let everybody know that Whoopi Likes Her Bacon Crispy is in pre-sale now all over the world. All the different editions are available. And last I looked, even Amazon looked like it might have it together. So that's Whoopi Likes Her Bacon Crispy. I received my hardcover copy in the mail today. It's a very cool book. And also want to mention that also this week, same week, came out a book by Andy Cohen called Glitter Every Day, 365 Quotes from Women I Love, and it's got caricatures of these women on the cover as well. So Whoopi Likes Her Bacon Crispy has some competition by a very famous person who has lots of fans. So we're playing this little game, and I want to encourage all of you people to try it, too. Anytime you go over to Amazon, look up Whoopi Likes Her Bacon Crispy, and then look up Andy Cohen's book, and then go back to the Whoopi book again. Because Amazon does a whole lot of people who looked at this also looked at that. So we've got about 50 or 60 people all trying this little experiment. We're going to see if we can get people who look at Andy's book to get recommendations for the Whoopi book from Amazon.
Yeah. All right, Legacy of Danger by Patricia A. Guthrie is available now. It's out on Amazon, so go over there and grab your copy, as well as Hello Chattanooga is out by David Carroll. So, again, go over to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you get your books and grab a copy. Both of these books are excellent books. So You don't want to miss out on these.
If you miss a show, find us in the archive in the Fresh Ink Group channel on YouTube, on Spotify, or under the podcast tab at freshinkgroup.com, beamweeks.com, and stephengees.com. On YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe.
All right.
So, in the next couple of days, we will be publishing Jenny Wong's book, Girl Wears Those Shoes. We're also looking either tomorrow or the next day to publish From Chaos with Love by Joshua Stutzman, a collection of 220 poems, many of them accompanied by some very cool images. And then we're hoping by next week to get Federation to the Stars, the Second Orc Chronicle by Robert G. Willis-Croft out there as well. So watch for those books. We're busy getting them out there.
All right. We also got books by Andrew McGregor, Josh Frederick, and another one by Patricia A. Guthrie. This one is a short story collection, and it's really cool. I just finished editing that. And we've got more coming in the pipeline, so keep your eyes and ears open and grab a hold of the newsletter.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What?
So I've been warning people for weeks now that if you want to order author copies of books, the deadline was a couple of days ago for guaranteed shipment by Christmas. But the fact is, they're really cranking. They're working 24/7 in all the factories, and they're getting them out pretty fast. We just got 300 soft covers to David Carroll in 4 days without paying for any extra shipping or expedited printing or anything like that. So don't be discouraged if you miss that deadline. If you're still trying to get books for events in late November or December, get those orders in, because they are getting them out as fast as they can. And while we can't make promises anymore, we're still optimistic that you should be able to get your books. So talk to us if you're going to need some books. Always think ahead on these.
Yeah, and also remember, we are trying to grow our YouTube channel. So if you haven't already, go over there and subscribe to that channel. Just go to YouTube, type in Fresh Ink Group, and you'll find us. And while you're there, kind of peruse our lengthy growing list of videos and hit those like buttons as well. This really helps us out, and this is going to help everybody that's connected with Fresh Ink Group. If we can grow, we're going to help other people grow.
Definitely. Okay, today's guest, very early in the morning for her, is in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. And this is one of our earliest authors. I think she was only like about the fifth or sixth author to come to Fresh Ink Group quite a while back, meaning that she had the privilege of working with Anne. But here's her bio. Aisha Hassan is our guest. Growing up in a military family, Aisha Hassan traveled and explored the whole of her native Pakistan. Still wondrously young, today she holds a master's degree in international relations and affairs. She is a writer who worked as a journalist and broadcast anchor in Pakistan and the Middle East. In Dubai, United Arab Emirates, she has taught at a Russian university and now teaches at Al Falah University. Her penchant for seeing, feeling, and understanding life's many underlying realities infuses how she lives and the stories she tells. Welcome to the show, Aisha.
Welcome, Aisha.
Thank you very much. Well, when you were speaking, I kind of had the drum roll in my head, like
Well, you heard what the weather's like where we are. What's it like where you are right now?
Well, the weather over here for Dubai, it's actually amazing. We hardly get any winter, so the best we can get is like a 20 degrees Celsius, and that for us is winter.
Wow.
So, yeah, the best part is we can actually walk outside in the sun now. Otherwise, it's just getting, you know, the summer's worse.
So you are right in Dubai. You're right in the city or
yes.
Close to the city, right in it? It's a beautiful city.
Yeah, and it's home. It's actually my home. I've been living here for 9 years now. And, like, I kind of consider it home because this is the place where I had almost all my firsts. So I had my first car over here, and I got my first rented place over here, and so on and so forth. So, yeah. I'm almost a decade now.
Wow.
Now, as Stephen mentioned in your bio, you're a native from Pakistan. What brought you to Dubai, and have you lived in other places other than Pakistan and Dubai?
Mm-hmm. Now, Dubai is the only place apart from Pakistan where I have lived, but, you know, within Pakistan, because my dad was in military, so we, like, kept moving around. So we've lived almost in the entire Pakistan. But later when I started working, initially I worked in Pakistan, and then afterwards I moved to Dubai.
Hmm. Well, I'm really curious about growing up in Pakistan and moving around. I mean, that's a big country, and there's a lot of variation in the culture in all the different regions and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you got to experience a wide variety of that as a child?
Yes, actually I did. And plus, I mean, as a kid, I was like super shy. I was like really introverted. And so plus, we used to move around a lot. So being introverted, it was like really difficult making friends. And it would take me like literally, it would take me a year or so to like make one friend. And by the time I'm like happy and kind of opening up with a friend, we would move out. And I used to be like, why is this happening? So, I mean, I kind of used to have my own imaginary world, too, which I still do have. Because I live alone, so I normally talk to myself, too. And people, like, my friends kind of make fun of me at times. Because there would be times when I would just be talking to myself and not realize that people are looking at me.
Now, speaking of your childhood, what kind of child were you? Were you a reader, writer? Did you get into reading and writing back then?
I was a reader, and I still love reading, but, I mean, recently I'm not getting much time, but as a kid, I liked reading, and I loved writing, too. I never knew that I was a writer, but still what I used to do was, like, I mean, if I had any kind of thoughts, I used to write them down, and then I used to, like, sort of embellish them with nice words, and I used to keep reading everything that I would write. Even a small paragraph I would write, and I would, like, save it. So, like, even now, I have this, like, teeny tiny kind of a folder that has, like, really my childhood stuff in it, and there are some of the writings, and I remember there was one I wrote when I was in grade 5, and sometime back I read, and I was like, wow, you had it in you, girl. So, yeah, I mean, I like reading. That was the other one thing.
Hmm.
And Sidney Sheldon was my favorite, I remember, because I just want to write like him. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah, I've read a few Sidney Sheldon books years ago. Yeah, he was a good writer.
I've read all Sidney.
Now, over on Twitter, Dr. Helen Burrell, who we just talked about earlier, says, beautiful international author Aisha Hassan publishes The Autumn Tree, garners great reviews at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and everywhere else. Multi-gifted journalist and university teacher, Hassan's writings promise to intrigue. Two, this book steams with seductive passages. Ooh. Thanks for the comment, Dr. Helen.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Dr. Helen.
Yeah.
You're amazing. Yay.
All right.
By the way, I do have to tell you guys one thing, because I am a professor, as you know, and a couple of my students, you know, they were interested in getting the book, hard copy, and in UAE, they're not delivering. You know, when they ordered, Amazon says the delivery is not possible in the location. So
yeah,
I've
got that on the list here to ask you about. I know in the past when we sent you copies of books, I would order them from the printers and ship them, and then you wouldn't get them.
Yeah.
So I would order them from Amazon, and you would. And that's been our primary
and
way of operating.
And now it's going the other way around.
Now it's going the other way. So, that's an unfortunate development.
But you won't believe it. Like, the student of mine, he wanted this. So he was like, you know, he initially ordered the Kindle copy. And then he was like, I wanted the hardcover. So he ordered the hardcover, got it delivered to his friend in U.S., and now his friend is going to be visiting Dubai and will be bringing it in December.
All right.
I was like, oh, my God, I'm touched. I was like,
yeah.
I wanted to read it. I was like, thank you.
Yeah. So back to your, you found this the folder mm-hmm. with your writing from grade five and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Any plans of maybe updating them and publishing them?
I want to, and I know you're going to be like, Aisha, when are you finishing it? But my second one is more than halfway done. Yes, but unfortunately, initially, I actually had a writer's block, which actually turned into procrastination, and now I just feel like I'm just so busy, but I have to complete it. So it's my promise that I promise myself I have to complete my novel before the end of this year. So.
All right. Well,
and then
I know how that goes.
I already have the ideas.
That's
a yeah, I know
a
the procrastination
order.
Part.
So
it's part of being a writer.
Always.
Yeah.
So Beam, let's roll a commercial.
All righty.
From Chaos, this is a brand new commercial, never been heard before. This is the world premiere, and there's a new video over on YouTube. New video
world premiere. Yeah, get over to YouTube and hit that like button and the subscribe button.
I'm in St. Louis, where the windmills turn, behind the fence where lifers yearn. I see tempers flare and souls burn. Walk the line, or it's your turn. It's funny how little things give us the greatest ambition. The differing shades of color throughout the day's sky. The slight smile and familiar aroma of a lover. The laugh of a child. In From Chaos with Love, Poetry from the Inside Out, this astounding collection of 220 original poems, Joshua Stutzman shares his vision of how we live day to day, often unaware of how many ways we affect those around us, family, friends, even strangers. In that, he finds a unique and poignant beauty, an exquisite appreciation for the wonder he hopes to share with his poetry. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, From Chaos with Love is the first collection from a man describing what we all know but find too easy to forget. From Chaos with Love, Poetry from the Inside Out by Joshua Stutzman.
Yeah. All right.
Another fun video to make.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, get over there on YouTube and hit the like button. Subscribe if you're not subscribed. And let's grow this thing. Now, Aisha, you touched briefly on some of your childhood and whatnot. Now, what sort of, and as Stephen had mentioned, you've got a degree. So what's your educational background?
Okay. I basically had one master's before. It's in international relations and affairs. My focus was diplomacy. And initially, you know, my aim was actually to get into UN, and things didn't roll out the same way. I started off with teaching back home in Pakistan, and then I moved into journalism, where I basically was a journalist and then became a news anchor in Pakistan with a news channel that's like the largest TV network. It's called ARY Network, and I was working for ARY News. And then when I moved to Dubai, then I moved back into teaching, and I've been teaching here for 9 years, and I did the second master's in international business law. So I have two masters.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
So what is it that you're teaching, and is it at the Russian University mm-hmm. where you're teaching now?
Oh, that's an excellent and lovely question. That was once upon a time. Now, actually COVID, like as it had been for a lot of people, very devastating for me. It was also devastating because I lost my full-time job here. And now I'm currently So it's, you know, everything is kind of like a blessing in disguise. But that, and last year I felt like everything had just crashed. But now I'm teaching in three universities. In one of the universities, I'm teaching employment law and legal aspects of business. And then in one of the universities, I've taught digital governance, tribal laws, and currently I'm teaching world cultures. And I also teach strategic marketing and leadership. So I'm super diverse.
Wow.
And
I'm impressed.
Yes, and this is, thank you, but it doesn't stop here because this is only the teaching part. And apart from that, I'm also full-time working in real estate as a realtor for Visionary Real Estate. That is a real estate company of the same ARY network that I used to work for in Pakistan. So, U.S., if anyone is interested in real estate of Dubai, you just contact me.
Ah, there you go. Well, you know, when you talk about, like, being in real estate, I'm picturing, a professional woman out meeting clients and moving about and looking at properties and things like that. But it kind of conflicts a little bit with my bias toward the way I think the culture is over there. I mean, is it easy for you to move about freely as an independent woman, not be escorted? Do you drive?
Okay. Very nice question, because your bias is kind of like, let me just clarify one thing. Whenever, you know, we think about Middle East, we think about Saudi maybe. But with Dubai is extremely open. And they're not conservative at all when it comes to working women. I drive ever since I moved here. I got the license in 2 months, and ever since I've owned my own car and I drive. And you know, with the universities also, because I'm teaching on campus, so I move around. Like normally in one day I switch between at least two universities, and then after the classes I also go to work. And I basically, in real estate, I'm not working on a secondary property, so I don't have to go around showing people the places. So I'm mostly working on off-plan that's under construction property or anything that's primary. So if I have any clients for that, only then with them I go for viewing. But with Dubai, it's very open, it's very adaptive, and I would say it's one of the most safe places for anyone to live independently.
Hmm. Are there things about the culture that you have to deal with that you don't like or that makes it difficult for you?
Yes. Things that are difficult. You know, at times what I have faced is there is bias, actually. So I'm coming from Pakistan. And when it comes to, jobs and job opportunities, the opportunities for Pakistanis are not as open as they would be for Western world. So a lot of times it would even happen that by qualification and experience and as a profile, I might be much stronger than maybe anyone else, but the other person could get better opportunities than me because they have a passport that comes from the Western side of the world. And that's one thing that I have, I would say that it has actually disappointed me a lot of times.
Would you say that they seem to be encouraging of Westerners relocating there or coming there to do business?
Yes.
I hear that from friends in India as well, that there's a very strong culture toward encouraging Americans to come over there and do business and set things up and strengthen international relations, which fits right into your degrees and your expertise. It's a time of transformation, and you're a person who specializes in how we transform. So great timing.
Well, I'm going to keep trying. That's why we're there.
Another thing that I've wanted to ask you about, and the few times we've talked directly in the past, I've always sensed that you have enormous affection for your father. You want to tell us about him, what kind of man he was, and what it was like having a military officer as your parent?
Okay, that's interesting, because actually my dad is my hero, my first love. I love him. He is my strength. having a military father, I mean, I never felt it because, I mean, I was always the daddy's girl. But yeah, I mean, he's a lot into like discipline and all, so which is a very good thing. He's very supportive, even with like my planning to move over here. My mom was a bit skeptical. She was like, "Are you sure you can live alone?" Because I'm the kind of person who involuntarily attracts problems. So it's like, you know, I'll just be walking and minding my own business, and something would happen. So I am like that, and it keeps happening. So my mom was like, "Okay, you're sure you can live alone?" I was like, yeah, I can. And my mom wasn't really in favor of it, but my dad was like, no, if my daughter wants to go, she won't go. So whatever she wants to do, she has to do it. And that's why. And I remember, like, when my book got published, I was, like, really excited. And, again, yes, you know, I mean, like, you know, even Dr. Helen, she pointed out, it is a bit steamy, the content. And so I gave it to my dad. And I was like, I want you to read it. And the other people, like other friends of mine who had read it, they were like, "Are you sure you want your dad to read it?" I was like, "Yeah, it's my first book." And my dad read it, and he was so proud of me. And then to just give me a surprise, he actually threw a whole party, invited all his friends, and he basically introduced my book. And I remember everyone, and so like, I mean, my dad's childhood friends, they were all there, and they were like, "God, we are proud of you, girl." And I was like, "Oh my God, this is the best."
Oh, how wonderful. And your mom sounds terrific too. You want to tell us a little bit about her?
Oh yeah. My dad and my mom are the best team ever. Always arguing, but always literally deciding on exactly the same thing when it's needed. So my mom is more like, you know, if I have to actually tell you, it's like my dad's the good cop, my mom's the bad cop for me. Yeah. It happens. And
yeah.
So I argue with my mom a lot, but I love her to bits because she's really sweet and she's very emotional when it comes to her kids. Like, no one can dare say anything to us, the kids. She's the lioness, if anyone even dares to come close to us. Yeah.
I'll bet.
And, and my mom actually has really, really high standards. God, it's not easy to please her. So, like, you know, a lot of times my friends go like, "God, you have really high standards." And I go like, "Oh, you haven't seen my mom."
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's fun. And she's very supportive, but then, you know, she's actually the one who's she's more pragmatic, I would say.
Yeah. And you mentioned her kids.
Mm-hmm.
That means you have brothers and sisters?
Oh, yes, I do. I have three sisters and two brothers.
Wow.
So we are a big family.
Are they all in Pakistan? You're the one who took off, or are they scattered around too?
No, it's like pretty much we're all kind of like scattered. Three of my siblings, actually, they're in Pakistan because they're all three of them are in military. Like both my brothers, one of them is in Pakistan Army. He's a major. And then my youngest brother, my baby, he's in Pakistan Navy. He's a lieutenant. And my eldest sister, she's also married to one of the army officers. Her husband is a colonel. Then I am here in Dubai. One of my other sisters, she's married also, and she's also living in Dubai. And one of my sister is in Canada. So she's living with her family in Canada. She's a general surgeon.
Wow, you're going to have to come this direction to visit your sister in Canada, aren't you?
Oh, definitely I have to.
Yeah. So, Beam, you want to play another commercial and then come back and see what they're saying on Twitter?
Yeah, we can do that.
Every person has a private life and a secret self. This is true of those we know and people we only know because they are famous. Discover fascinating, intimate, clever, witty, poignant, insightful tales from a diverse roster of notable women who dare reveal both the unknown and the previously undisclosed. But these are not gossipy tales. No, They are personal, anecdotal, always meaningful stories for quiet reading, sharing aloud, even performing from the stage. Compiled by Detroit playwright Jay Ajluni, Whoopi Likes Her Bacon Crispy, 65 fascinating excerpts from the memoirs of famous and infamous women, is illustrated with whimsical portraits that capture these remarkable celebrities at their best. Choose your own from laminate hardcover, softback, and digital editions, all proudly published by Fresh Ink Group. Come away with a richer appreciation of these talented women and smile for permitting them to entertain you in unexpected and delightful ways.
And
yeah,
I'm here to tell
that,
you, it's better
that's
than
in
Andy
pre-sale.
Cohen's book.
Yeah, that's in pre-sale, so get over there and grab that. And, yeah, and then go look at the Andy Cohen book while you're there. Kind of connect the 2 books.
Yeah.
All right, so over on Twitter, I'll grab this this one here. We have Verwayne Greenhoe. He says, I've not read anything by Aisha Ihsan, but I can bet that will change very soon. Thanks for getting up early to talk with us, Aisha. Verwayne and his wife, Lisa, said that.
Thank you. I am touched.
Yeah, thanks, Verwayne.
Thank you, Verwayne. Now, Aisha, you got all these other siblings. Are any of them inclined to write as well?
No.
Or do they not have
none
the time?
Of them.
Okay. So you're the only writer in the family?
They're not actually even inclined, yeah. Yeah, I'm the only one. And they initially, they didn't even believe unless I published. Because I'm like, hey, in your face, I did it.
All right.
Yeah. So when you're not, you're not writing and when you're not teaching, and when you're not doing the real estate game, what do you like to do to relax? Do you have any hobbies or interests? How do you like to spend your time, your downtime?
I don't normally, like, usually get much time, but I spend it more with friends. Because, you know, like, I live alone, so, and I do not like, you know, spending more time with myself. So I prefer, like, surrounding myself with people. And that's what I do. Otherwise, like, I read. I like reading. So when I have time from by myself, like, I always carry a book with me in my bag. Wherever I stop or anything, I would have a book in my hand. Other than that, like, I have good friends. So that's how things go.
Okay.
We do have another comment on Twitter. Marlena Smith says, can I just say, Aisha, you have such a lovely accent. And your family sounds lovely. I would imagine the support is incredible coming from a big family.
Oh, thank you. And that is so true. Actually, having a big family is a blessing. You have all kinds of people. You have supports in very different manners. And it's amazing. And but I do have to say, like, you know, I said my youngest brother, who's my baby, he's practically a replica of my dad. And he actually takes care of me like a daughter, and I go like, man, you're my baby, and he goes like, no, you need anything, just tell me, and I'll do it for you, and I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Anyway.
So have you hung on to any friends from your childhood at all, or all your friends now are people you've met after you grew up?
Oh, you know, you childhood friends you only hang out with on social media. Everyone's scattered. The world has shrunk so much, like, everyone's, like, all over, and especially, you know, like, all my childhood friends, practically everyone's married, and they have families, so they don't even have much time, so maximum, you know, anytime anyone can, like, make any time, I'll just be there.
Did you?
It really changed. Yeah.
Were your friends as a kid basically what over here we call military brats, which is the kids of military who tend to move around every two years and live on bases over there? That was pretty much who you hung out with, was other military kids?
Yes. Those were actually my childhood friends. And interestingly, one of my military brats, basically, is over here in Dubai. And like, you know, we were together from grade 9 to grade 12, like high school. And then, you know, we all like, then my dad got retired and then we moved to, initially we were in Islamabad in Pakistan. And then when my dad got retired, we moved to Karachi. So it was a different city. So I couldn't meet anyone there. And then after like about 10 or something years, I was here, like completely different person, established in my university, teaching and all. And that's when I met him. So he's basically here with his family. And it's just amazing. Every time we sit down, all we do is just talk about childhood, nothing else. Mm.
It's great that you got that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That talking about childhood, I mean, I think that's a common mm-hmm. thing. I've got friends that I don't see that often, but when we do, we always talk about, you know,
right?
20, 30 years ago, what
and
we were doing.
Exactly, and it just doesn't feel like time passed.
Yeah.
That's the best part about them, right? You meet them and you're like, okay, when was the last time you met? Oh, my God, was that like a year ago? Wow, okay.
Hmm. Yeah, time flies. Time flies fast.
Yeah.
So how long have you been writing leading up to your book?
Leading up to my book, actually, this book, I have been writing like short stories and then long short stories for quite some time. But when I like about this book also, you know, like I discussed with you also, I was just writing the short story and the short story turned out to be a little long and then long and then it turned out to be a very long one. And so the initial part, Yours Sincerely, was supposed to be a short story. And it turned out to be like a really long story. And then the length was so that it could not be a novel and it could not be a short story. And I wanted it to be published. So then I was like, you know, what do I do? And then I picked up like the three main characters from the story and I wrote the extension of what happened to them after this, you know, after the curtains dropped here. So that's how, and that's basically the whole idea of Autumn Tree. It's autumn. It's and just, you know, like you started the show and you said now you can see the colors and how the leaves are showing different shades. So that's basically how it is. There are different branches of the tree. So Yours Sincerely is the tree, and then other three stories are basically the branches out of it. And that's how I kind of got like a really big sort of a write up. And that's what I shared with you guys. And I think it was Gary, you were the first person who contacted me, I remember. And I was so excited because I got your email. It was, I was actually thinking about it, that the day I received your email and you said, congratulations, we really like your script and we would like to go ahead with publication. And I remember I was walking up to the theater at that time. I just bought my popcorn. And I saw the email and I was like, okay. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Well, that's a nice story to hear, definitely. So
yeah.
So you wrote, so all of the writing for The Autumn Tree was done after you moved to Dubai. This is not something you started prior or anything like that?
Mm-mm. No.
Hmm. So you just decided to do it and then just got to work?
It wasn't even a decision. It was more like one thing led to the other. I was only writing just for myself. And actually, you know, basically the whole thing was that I had recently moved to Dubai. And it was the first time ever that I was living alone. I was living away from family. I was a little scared also. I was trying to actually put up that like really strong demeanor that, okay, I'm a strong woman. Nothing can hurt me. But inside, I was that little puppy who was scared.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that time, I was dating someone. And so I was discussing it with him. And so he was like, well, if you are stressed and you have so many thoughts in your mind, just start writing them down. You like writing, just start writing like short stories. I was like, yeah, okay, that's a good idea. So I was thinking of writing a short story. And so, you know, that writing and then things that like I was observing around me, some of those reflections are actually coming in this too.
So do you write like on a computer, or are you a person who writes longhand, write on a pad? You work on a computer?
Mm-hmm. I just work on a computer. I make a file and then I keep like adding on to it.
Okay.
At times what I do is like sometimes, you know, what's happening is like I am writing one thing and I know that I want to add something much later. And I can't focus on whatever I'm writing right now, so I'll just open a new Word file. I'll, like, jot down everything. I'll write the entire scene on a separate file, and then I'll start working on this again, and then, like, sort of add that scene back in. Hmm. But, I mean, I just work on computer. I should be more of a, you know, notepad person, but I just can't do that.
So it sounds like you're not much of an outliner, but you kind of go seat of the pants, but as you think ahead, you take notes, which then kind of act like outline for you. So that when you get to there, you've got your notes and you know what you need to do and make sure you cover all the points that are important. That's kind of a hybrid outlining, I would think. Outlining as you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, I know that on the Autumn Tree, I personally know your editor because he was me. But what about other people? Do you share your writing with people, beta readers? Do you get feedback or reaction, or do you try to keep it very close and private until you're ready to show a finished product?
On the latter.
Hmm.
I keep them all very close to myself, and I just like sharing it with you, actually. So I don't really share it with anyone, even people when they ask, okay, what is it about? I just go like, romance, that's it. So, and I love writing romance, and so I mean that's even a test to be like, oh, romance.
People like to read about romance.
Oh yeah. Well, it kind of, you know, helps us escape everything that we're just going through, because life is just so full of so many practical things that at times, you know, just a romance and a fiction just tells us, like, you know what, there is light at the end of the tunnel. That's how I see it.
So do you get reaction from people who have read your book? A fan reaction? Especially the people your father knows. Sounds like a great group to watch a book to. But have you had some interaction with fans, any feedback or any reviews that stood out to you that you liked?
Yeah, actually, you know, they're very encouraging. Actually, the people who have given me feedback are more of the people who always encourage me. And I even when I ask them to be a little critical, I want critiques. But if deep down, I really don't want anyone criticizing my work. So, yeah, I mean, if anyone would. So normally people give a good feedback. And it's only one, actually, up till now. And I really plan to, and I really want to have more and more, like, books published. I want to explore because, I mean, I have Autumn Tree on my bedside table. But, like, every time I go to bed, I would just read one page out of it and just, you know, praise myself. It's like, you know, mirror, mirror on the wall. I'm a little bit of that type. Yeah, I mean, even when I wake up, I look at my book and I go, like, good job, Aisha, and then I go make the coffee.
I think that's a common thing. I remember, getting that first copy of my first book, and it was just like, wow, I did this, you know. And it's you've accomplished
something. It's unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
So over on Twitter... I saw a note from Berwayne Greenhoe, and I just lost it here, but he was agreeing with Marlena Smith about the lovely accent that Aisha has. So you're getting fans for your work and your accent today, Aisha.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm
interested in knowing what does lovely accent mean.
What does lovely accent mean? Well, obviously your childhood in Pakistan infuses the way you speak English. It adds a little bit of highlights and flavor to it. And when they say lovely, they mean that it sounds beautiful. They think it sounds very nice and that it's coming from a lovely voice. So it's a compliment.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So, Beam, we need to play another commercial here, and then I think it's time to ask Aisha to tell us what the Autumn Tree is about after that.
All right.
Aspiring young Chinese immigrant, Gigi Oh, survives by working as a stripper, but she strives for true success in the U.S. real estate industry. Navigating this highly competitive business is tough, especially when her only support comes from the deeply flawed man she loves and her old cohorts from the strip club. Issues of betrayal and trust, loyalty and commitment complicate her goals, even as one lesbian friend adds new dimensions to her understanding of love versus desire. Then the market crashes and financial turmoil threatens to rob Gigi Oh of all she has achieved. Can she find new ways to chase her dreams and still manage to keep her clothes on? Or might she find a better reason to take them off? Girl Wears Those Shoes is a tale of love and power. The story of one woman who wants to make the world her own, if only she can figure out how. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, Girl Wears Those Shoes is available in all hardcover, softcover, and all digital formats worldwide.
All right.
Should be in pre-sale by this weekend.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. Yep. So, Aisha, The Autumn Tree, your first novel. Can you tell us what it's about?
Well, it is about, it's suspense, it's love, it's betrayal, and it's happy ending. It's a lot of emotions in there, different perspectives, a person who is struggling, a person who is already successful and struggling in other ways, emotional drama. And in the middle of all, there is hope and there's someone out there for someone. And so like what I personally believe, and that's what I tried to actually tell in the story was, that no matter how bad things can be, there is always something good that's going to happen if we are good. So, and that's what I personally believe in also. And I try to practice too. No matter how bad things are, at least try being good to other people. Just be good to anyone around you and cross your fingers because something good will come around. So that's basically everything that's there in the book too. I would love it if people read and do give me a feedback.
Okay. Now, you wrote this while you were in Dubai, but where does the story in the book take place?
The story takes place in U.S.
Yeah, in fact, both coasts, right?
Yeah.
Some of it's California, some of it's New York.
Yeah, that actually kind of is a little bit of a... I have to say that's the glitch that I kind of had because, like, to me, I mean, all I know about U.S. is through the Hollywood. So I've watched the movies and I see how things are. Yeah, and reading. I've never been to U.S. actually. So and I was like, I'm really fascinated about, you know, U.S. Everyone talks about it, land of opportunity, this and that. So and growing up, I was really I was a huge fan of those like teen movies and stuff. And so and by the way, Confession of a Shopaholic is one of my favorite movies. And then Devil Wears Prada. So these kind of movies, I used to watch those movies. And then I think, okay, wow, I want that life. So when I was writing, so and after I wrote and then I sent it to you, and then I think it was you who pointed out that it's like both coasts. So, yeah, it, in my mind, actually, New York and California kind of were like sort of together, which they're not. Geography went wrong.
There's thousands of miles between.
Yes.
And a lot of cultural differences.
I learned that the hard way.
A lot of cultural differences, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I need to come over and see.
Now,
one way to find out.
You say there's tension and suspense and drama and stuff. What causes it? I mean, is it relationships? Is it trickery and revenge and whatnot? Or are there actual murders and other things going on?
Murder isn't in the first book. It will be in the second one.
Well, there
so
you go.
You can keep your fingers crossed. Murder is coming. But In this book, basically the entire drama is because of the needs and how some people. So there are like basically there's two main characters that I had in mind. There are two girls. One is Catherine. The other one is Amanda. Two completely different women. And I've kind of like showed their two different worlds, and somehow they sort of like meet, and then how things happen after they meet, and so what their it's always, you know, your situation that decides what your needs can be. With Catherine, she's struggling, and she wants all the fancy things in life. And so she's only struggling to get those, and she would do anything. She would walk miles just to get what a fancy life that she sort of pictures in her head. And Amanda, on the other hand, is a really well-established and a well-off girl, but she's facing other, let's say, demons. So how they're struggling, they're both going through their different emotional dramas. And it's all about what you want and your needs, how to satisfy your needs, and in that, the people who come in their path, the people who love them, the people who use them, and so on and so forth.
Now, are these characters, are they based on people that you really know, or are they just completely, you know, your imagination, characters you created?
Mm-hmm. Characters are both completely out of my imagination, and which is why I just love them. But some of the things, you know, they are like so some of these scenarios that I have placed in the novel, they are things that I have heard about, and so different things that you kind of hear and then put them together, different situations. You put them together in your imaginary world and make it into one scenario. That's what I've done. So characters are completely fictitious.
Interesting.
Now, I've been over here at my shelf looking for my copy of The Autumn Tree because I wanted to see who the cover credit was. Because normally we ask you, you know, who's involved in working on your books. And for this one, I hired a guy in England to do the artwork for you because you were very particular about how you wanted this tree. And I forgot, there it is, Mark Laxton. So Mark Laxton did the cover art for your book. And I hate that I forgot his name because I like to give people credit. He did a beautiful job for you, didn't he?
Thank you very much, Mark. It was exactly how I pictured it. Because I remember we went back and forth so many times. Like, no, I want this color. No, I want that color. I want a flower over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a beautiful cover.
Yeah.
And also in the process of working on this book, one thing I'm curious about is how did you find Fresh Ink Group? How did a young independent woman in Dubai learn about us?
Well, when I finished my writing, and so I started, like, I wanted it to be published, so I went online and I checked. I contacted, they were like, you know, you were in the list and you were basically on the top of the list in Google. There was one or two publishers above you, so I sent a query there, and interestingly, one of the responses was, congratulations, you have been selected. Please send your writing and we'll publish it. I was like, well, you haven't even read it. And I was really skeptical. And I was like, no, I am not sending not even a single alphabet to you. And then I got your response and you were like, please send me a small piece of writing from there and we'll read through it. And then, so I felt really safe. And it was just like instant, like the moment you responded to me and I was like, you know what, this feels safe. And then I remember Anne contacted me, may she rest in peace. Then, you know, I had a little bit of a communication with her, and she appreciated my writing, and then we got on to the whole process.
Yeah, Anne really took to you, too. She, for some reason, you hit it off with her. She really liked you, and she was just excited when she got a hold of me and said, you know, I like this, so we should work with her. And she was just into it the whole time. But Anne was always a sweetheart to work with, wasn't she?
She was. She was so supportive. And, like, I mean, I've never, like, talked to her, but, I mean, our email communication is so amazing. Like, I would write an email and she would immediately respond. And I just felt really good. It just made me feel special. Like, oh, my God, there's someone who actually appreciates something that I didn't even believe in the first place. And so it was amazing, yeah.
And knowing Ann, she likely invited you to visit Texas.
Yes. Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
But it was, unfortunately, things didn't work out at that time. I miss her.
Yeah, we miss her too. But yeah. if you'd had that privilege, she would have taken you out and showed you the Texas blue bonnets that she was always so proud of.
Oh, I guess you could do that then when I visit.
Yeah. Yeah, at one point back then, you made some reference, too, about it would be nice to come over here and meet all us guys, and I just think you were realizing at the time that we're spread pretty far apart, 1,000 miles
you are?
From here to,
no way,
to where, in fact, your two co-hosts tonight are about 1,000 miles apart right now, so it's kind of a big area over here, but again, when you're ready to come to the U.S., we'll show you some things.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
We'll have a good time with it.
So, that would be awesome. I'm really looking forward to it.
You say you're halfway through another book.
Yes.
What's this one going to be about?
This is, again, a love story. And
with
in
murder.
This one, basically, yeah, there will be, but towards the end. This one is going to be about, again, this is about a girl, and this time I've done my geography well. This is all about, this is going to be in New York only. But half of the book is going to be in Dubai. So this is a girl who's well-established in New York, and then she gets a project to work in Dubai. So she's going to move to Dubai, and here I'm going to be basically writing down all my experiences of when I moved here, and how I learned different things in Dubai.
Cool.
So this one's got
and
more
so
of a personal angle.
Yes, it does. And then, but I mean, so when she moves to Dubai, she is, she's basically opting for a long-term relationship with her boyfriend, who basically they were planning to get married, but then she got this project, so she has to move to Dubai for a year. And then things, you know, they go a little wrong, and then what happens? I don't want to disclose everything. Come on.
Yeah, you don't want to give it away.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Aisha, we're also collecting
yes.
short stories for an anthology. So if you come up with a short story idea, go ahead and put one down and send it in to us.
Sure. I would love that. I would love
that's
that.
That's a good way to help promote your books, too, is to have a short story in an anthology, and people read that and say, oh, I like this writer. What else has she done?
Perfect, yeah. So I do have a collection. I'll share one or two with you, and then we'll see, you know, if you like them, then you can basically welcome that.
Oh, cool. Well, if you've got a big enough collection, you can also put out a book of short stories. It's been done before.
Yeah. Some of you have done it
twice.
That's
a good idea too.
We'll have to talk about that. So, do you have any advice to people out there who are authors or want to get into broadcasting or teaching or any of the things that you like to do?
Advice. Life is full of challenges. Just jump into it. And it's just going to work out because my life, I mean, like the way I told you, I have done pretty much a lot of things and none of them relate at all. Like on one hand, I'm working as a journalist and as a broadcast journalist, and then I'm teaching in a university and then real estate, completely different areas. But the one thing that I actually learned was never say no to any opportunity that you get. And you have no idea how and when the dots will connect. And that's what I feel. It's been quite a long time, almost 14 years that I've been working. And it's just like, I mean, and I've never said no to any new experience and new opportunity. And I love traveling. So every time I go anywhere, I just feel like, you know, everything is a new experience. Do it and learn from it. So, and about writing, the more experiences you have, the better you would have content to write. Because the best thing, apart from, yes, reading is very important. When you read someone else, you kind of have an idea of how you want to establish yourself. At times, you know, you read someone and you go like, I never want to write like this person. And then there would be another writer and that would just influence you and impact you so much. And you'd be like, you know what? I like this way of writing. Maybe I want to do this. But the best thing that you can have is your own experiences, because they actually tell you who you are and who you want to be.
That's two bits of very excellent advice. I like your point about mm-hmm. the dots connecting, because, you know, when you were a little girl moving around the country, mm-hmm. you didn't envision
yeah.
the life you have now. You didn't envision anything like it, I imagine. But
exactly.
you envisioned something, and you just moved
mm-hmm.
that direction, and then you look for those dots, and you start connecting them as you go. And you've had some cool
mm-hmm.
dot connecting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm super happy with the picture that it's forming.
Yeah,
definitely.
Now, earlier when we were talking about setting this mm-hmm. up, we learned that you have limited kinds of opportunities for media in,
mm-hmm.
in Dubai there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we couldn't Skype, for example. Something
mm-hmm.
you do have, some you don't. We know that you're on Instagram. Can you tell our
yeah.
listeners how they can find you, how they can follow you, what your handles are,
mm-hmm.
anything that you want to
yes.
say about that?
Yes. Actually, on social media, I am on Instagram, but my profile is sort of limited. So either I would have to open my profile or, I mean, you can just send me an invite and I'll accept you. And I'm on Twitter and you have my handles, and on Facebook also. These are the only three I am on.
What is your Twitter handle?
Twitter handle is Aisha_Ehsan. Sorry.
And I believe it's the
yes.
same way on Instagram.
Yes. On Instagram, Aisha_Ehsan. Twitter is, sorry, Aisha_Ehsan1.
Okay.
Is my Twitter.
Okay.
A-N-E-R capital. With Instagram, it's Aisha_Ehsan.
And of course,
I think the same goes for Facebook.
Facebook. Okay. And of course, always, if anybody wants to get a hold of any of our authors, send us a note. We have a contact form at freshinkgroup.com, or most of you have our email addresses. Get a hold of us. Let us know. We'll find a way to get you in contact with Aisha.
Mm-hmm.
Aisha, we really appreciate you getting up so early or staying up so late or whatever it is that you did to make this work, but it's been terrific, and it's really been fun to have a chance just to talk with you and like this, especially since over the years so much of our communication has just been in writing, emails back and forth.
Yes.
It's fun just to be able to chat, and you do have an open invitation. Mm-hmm. When you do get to the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
let us know. We'll see what we can work out, show you the country. It's a big one.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Thank you very
much.
And I just
shared a tweet with your handle in it with the hashtag
mm-hmm.
Fresh Ink Group. So anybody that wants to go and say hi to you on Twitter or follow you on Twitter, just go to the hashtag Fresh Ink Group and it's right in there.
And on the accent, Verwaine Greenhoe adds, your accent sits pleasingly on the ear like a song that makes you smile as you drive down the highway. There you go.
Oh, that is so sweet. God,
Verwaine,
you
the
just
poet.
Made my morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, thank you, Aisha. We've really enjoyed having you on. And who we got next week, Beam?
Next week we have author Astrid Vijay. She is from Sweden. Now this episode is going to be a pre-recorded one due to the time zone differences, and she works and has children, so we have to work around that. So it's going to be a pre-recorded show, but we'll still interact with the listeners during the show on Twitter. So, and we're going to work out a way to do the pre-recorded shows where we can also take phone calls. So
keep
that in mind.
Yeah, we're gonna try a few different formats here, pre-recorded segments or whatever. But we'll find a way that works pretty well. But after Astrid Vijay, USA best-selling author, the following week it's going to be Nicholas Rossis. Nicholas Rossis over in Greece. He's a media guru, knows more about Amazon than Amazon knows. I'll bet he'd win a contest with Bezos over who knows more about it. He's got a blog that's terrific for writers. He's got children's books, adult book, all kind of stuff. We're all fans of Nick Rossis, and we are really looking forward to having a chance to meet him and talk with him better. And then after that, Beam?
We have Jenny Wang is going to be in. She's got a new book coming out, which you heard the commercial for tonight, Girl Wears Those Shoes, Abigail Hugini. Michael Egging. Egging and P.L. Stewart. These guys are going to be in, I'm thinking, December for these two? Or is it January? But it's coming up.
I think it's January for Egging and Stewart. And Abigail Hugini and Jenny are, and Willis Croft are December.
And Robert Willis Croft will be in here as well in December. So we got a full roster here, so you guys want to tune in and make sure you catch each of these episodes.
So thanks again, Aisha. It's been a real treat, and we will talk again soon.
Thank you, Aisha.
Definitely. Thank you very much for having me. I had a lovely time, and I feel like it was worth staying up the whole night. I was excited.
All right. Thanks.
You have
thanks,
a good
listeners.
Day.
We'll thanks, see you
listeners.
Next time.
See you too. Thank you so much. Take care.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.